This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasubi. It is our Doctor in the House series. It's a Friday. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. George, how are you today?
I'm very excited.
Always,
well, right? Always excited, right? Okay. Even though it's raining out there. But hey, you know what? Today is, we're venturing into the second half of November. What happened to 2019?
You had to remind us
that's
that.
That's right. Okay. Well, end of the year, festivity and everything, right?
Mm.
That's when we eat a lot and we don't really think too much about the consequence of that.
Yeah, but you do. You exercise twice a day now, don't you?
Yeah. Well, after years of knowing me, you know that finally that fear of diabetes, because, you know, family members have got diabetes and all that fear of going blind and having kidney problems and things like that, which is really what we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. It was World Diabetes Day yesterday, am I correct? You know, everybody celebrated the awareness, wanting to know more about diabetes. Malaysia is not doing well as far as diabetics are concerned. I'm not going to repeat myself over and over again,
because
I'm going
like
to have someone else do it for us. And joining us today is consultant ophthalmologist Dr. Mohanarasan Ratnam, and he's in the studio with us. We're going to be discussing, in particular today, diabetic retinopathy, meaning blindness as a result of diabetes. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mohan. How are you today?
Right, good, thank you.
You know, we just came out of World Diabetes Day yesterday. Would you have latest statistics on what's happening in Malaysia? What is the incidence of diabetes in Malaysia?
Yeah, we do have some numbers. And, National Health and Morbidity Survey has been conducted since 2008. And we know that the numbers have been increasing over the years. And at this point in time, the prevalence of the disease stands at about 17.5%. And we know, based on the projection of the disease, we know that it's going to go up to about 20% next year. So roughly, we're looking at, you know, and these involve adults above the age of 18 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So among ourselves, we're looking at about, you know, 1 in 6 of us walking with diabetes, or 1 in 5 of us walking around with diabetes.
And do you think most of us know? Do we even know we're diabetic?
Yeah, I think that's the big problem about diabetes. And the thing is, it affects you without you knowing it until you reach a point where, you know, a lot of the organs have been damaged or not functioning as well. That's when a lot of people show up to the doctors or, you know, their physicians. And even if they show up at a stage when it's early, a lot of times that people don't take it seriously.
Right? Yeah. Meera, I think you got it absolutely correct there. I mean, most of the time, I think it's almost like a silent killer in our country that we don't know about. You know, like you said early on, people don't treat diabetes as a serious condition. People say, I have a touch of sugar, you know, and very mild diabetes. And then also other time people just say, you know, it's just like I wasn't really behaving last month because of festivity. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think how serious is that attitude toward diabetes that is causing these long-term consequences?
Well, you know, I think we could say it's attitude, but be a bit harsh, because it's human nature. Okay, just look at global warming, you know, as another issue. Because it hits you slowly, no one reacts, right? So because of a disease doesn't hit you immediately, like a heart attack. So the tendency of human being is always to put it at the back of their mind and not really bother about it until, you know, something concrete happens.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, I suppose. Yeah, and also we live in this country where, you know, sugar, my goodness, we love our sugar.
Yeah, I think sugar is a big issue. And, you know, every meal in this country is probably, prepared with a bit or touch of sugar or a few tablespoons or teaspoon of sugar.
And carbohydrate, you know? Right?
Yes.
I mean, people assume that, you know, I have patients coming to my clinic with erectile dysfunctions. And then you kind of said, well, it's because of all these years of indulgence. And it's, but I don't drink anything sugary. I don't eat anything sugary. But that carbohydrate eventually is converted to sugar. And that itself is something that a lot of people need to be aware of.
Who would have thought, right? ED exactly. And diabetes.
Well,
I mean, we talk about heart.
Yes,
but diabetes, George?
Yeah, it's a broken heart and a broken heart.
Oh, okay. Didn't realize that. Okay. So let's talk about eye complications. We know that people with diabetes are sort of predisposed to eye complications, meaning diabetic retinopathy. You want to explain to us how the eye comes into play when it comes to diabetes? I mean, first the ED, now the eye. How does that happen?
So diabetes causes a few changes in your blood circulation in your body as well. What you find is that your red blood cells tend to aggregate together if you're diabetic. And patients also tend to develop atherosclerosis, which is narrowing of your blood vessels. And the platelets tend to stick to each other. So what you have in this situation is you have sluggish blood flow. So you've got narrowing of your blood vessels, you've got sticky blood and thickened blood, and so they don't flow as well. And we know that your blood is meant to carry oxygen to your organs. And in your retina, which is, you know, the back of the eye, which is the most important part in, it's something like the film of a camera. And if that part, the blood is supposed to carry the oxygen to the retina, and we have sluggish blood flow, you find that retina starts to be starved of oxygen. Mm-hmm. So when it is starved of oxygen, it has to do something. So it has to protect itself. And what it does, it releases all these angiogenic factors, little hormones that help promote new blood vessels to grow with a good aim of, you know, bringing more blood. But the problem is it's like slipshod construction, right? It's done rapidly. It's not done in utero when you were, you know, growing up in your mother's womb.
Womb. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the structures aren't strong. Mm-hmm. And when these new blood vessels form, they tend to break easily. And when they break, and then they bleed. So the essence of having good vision is having clarity in all the media in your eye, right? And not having clarity because the blood vessels have broken obviously drops your vision. Now, you've also got to think of the eye as a closed chamber. If you've got bleeding in your skin, you know, it dries up,
yeah.
It drops off, and, you know, new skin forms, whatever. Mm-hmm. But in your eye, your blood has got nowhere to go. Yeah, it's a closed chamber. So the blood forms a clot, and the clot then contracts. And when it contracts, it pulls with it the nerves, the retina.
Oh.
And that's what happens because so what you get is the retina then gets pulled away from its original position, has no more contact with your optic nerve, and hence you don't get the signals going to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we imagine it as your eye being the camera and your retina being the codec or the film that's mm-hmm. at the back, so imagine having the film pushed forward. So obviously image won't be clear.
All right. So the film should be kind of stuck to the back wall and then now become a bit wrinkly and push forward.
Yes, exactly.
All right. I mean, is that reversible for a diabetic patient who encounter diabetic retinopathy?
Well, the thing is, it's not reversible naturally. Uh-huh. Right. So because the eye is an extension of your brain, which is, you know, an extension of your central nervous system. And we know that most parts, the central nervous system doesn't regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to the eye, right? Because the retina is an extension of the central nervous system, it doesn't regenerate.
So even a diabetic patient become a bit remorse afterwards and then started behaving really well, watch a diet, exercise, and the eye damage will be permanent, will not mm-hmm. be reversible.
Yeah, so we are talking at the worst case scenario, uh-huh. right? So you've got staging for diabetic eye disease. When you're in stage 1, it is reversible. Once you hit stage 2, 3, and 4, and 4 is the one I talked about, the end stage where the nerve gets pulled out, 2, 3, and 4 is not reversible. And stage 4 is the one where you need some sort of surgical intervention, you know, if possible.
Okay. Let's go back to the red blood cells not getting enough oxygen. Is it because the blood vessels behind the retina is really, really small that it is deprived of the oxygen?
It's a bit of both. You've had the blood vessels are small. There's no doubt about that. But the lumen has now become narrowed because of the deposition of cholesterols and your fibroblasts and all your growth factors, mm-hmm. Those kind of cells. On top of that, the blood cells, instead of moving a single cell at a time, tend to form what we call a rulo. So a rulo is like a stack of, you know, multiple coins together if people go gambling, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've got a stack of blood moving in the blood vessel, it's obviously slower than moving one cell at a time.
Right.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
I mean, there are many, many listeners out there, I'm sure, has got a touch of diabetes and all very worried. As I understand, diabetes retinopathy is not the only eye complications that diabetic sufferers may encounter from. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And then what sort of other range of problems they may encounter?
Well, it starts, you know, at every level. So we usually describe the eye from the front to the back. You start from the front, which is the cornea, the back, the black, people call it the black part of the eye. So that tends to dry up quickly because your tear production is not very good. And you get what we call recurrent corneal erosions, which are really painful and disturbing. And then when you go to your pupils and your iris, if it's not, diabetes is not controlled and they develop what we call proliferative diabetic retinopathy, the new blood vessels tend to grow to the front of the eye as well, to the pupil area, right? And that blocks the flow of fluid within the eye, causes your pressure to go up. You get what we call glaucoma.
So you can get glaucoma as a result of diabetes.
Yes, secondary glaucoma.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, of course, because the optic nerve gets affected after a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, the pressure builds up, and the pressure it's got nowhere else to go, so it pushes back on the softest member of the whole anatomical structure of the eye, which is your optic nerve. Right? The rest of the eye seems to be a bit more rigid compared to the optic nerve. Right?
What about cataract, for example? Yeah.
So cataract is the other complication which, you know, is accelerated when you have diabetes. The lens, our natural lens, is meant to be dehydrated, which is dry. But because of this high glucose levels, there seems to be some sort of chemical reaction which converts this glucose into a form of alcohol and then gets absorbed into the eye.
Alcohol in the eye?
Yeah, sorbitol, right? So it gets absorbed into the lenses, and these then cause water to get absorbed into the lens, so your dehydrated state of the lens goes. It's the same thing. If you put water into whatever structure that you're trying to see through clearly, you're going to lose clarity.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with, you know, diabetic and cataract. Mm. And of course, the other thing we talked about is the bleeding in the eye and the nerve.
I mean, Meera, you know, Dr. Mohan just mentioned all these things that may really interest all the listeners out there: the cataract, the glaucoma, and also the diabetic retinopathy. I guess it's for you guys to call in. You know, if you have any questions, please call 7733 2900 or WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899.
Yes, our tweet is at BFM Radio. My co-host is learning to do his thing here. Right, so get in touch with us right now. We'll come back and continue this discussion on diabetic and diabetes and blindness. In particular, we're discussing diabetic retinopathy. Malaysia leads in terms of diabetics in this region. One in five of us is going to be or is predisposed to diabetes. Many of us walking around with diabetes without even knowing it. We'll come back and just quickly find out the symptoms from Dr. Mohan after this, before we continue the discussion. Up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivastuli. It's our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist in the studio with me. Also, Dr. Mohanarasan Ratnam, a consultant ophthalmologist. We're discussing diabetes and blindness. It was World Diabetes Day yesterday, and I think we need to talk more about diabetes, Dr. Mohan, don't you think? I mean, we've been talking. You know, George mentioned attitude could be one reason why we're not, you know, sort of diagnosing diabetics earlier on. But what are the symptoms? Just so we know, not be paranoid about it, but what are the symptoms?
So are we talking about diabetes in general?
Diabetes, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, in general, initially it's asymptomatic. But it comes to a stage where people start to realize they are losing weight fairly quickly, despite taking food, because you find that they're not converting the blood, the sugar in the blood, into some sort of fat, right? And polydipsia, polyuria, which means, you know, frequent thirst and urination, are one of the more common symptoms. Some of them get a wound which doesn't heal, and these are usually the common you know, symptoms that drive people to start to find out what's going on with them.
Okay. All right. We have Geraldine on the line. Geraldine, you have a question for us. Go ahead.
Hi, Geraldine.
Hi, hello. I just have a question around for a diabetes type 2 patient, right? How do you see if I want to go through a LASIK surgery to correct my lenses? I've just been doing a bit of reading, and I see that it's high risk. So, as a doctor, do you see this as a risky procedure, or is it something normal for a diabetes type 2 patient to go through?
Mm-hmm. And do you have questions for Geraldine?
No, I'll answer that.
Okay, thank you very much, Geraldine.
Thank you.
Right, thanks for the question, Geraldine. Well, as we mentioned, the complications, one of it was this diabetes causes your tear film to be poor in quality. You get frequent corneal erosions. And if you're going through LASIK, one of the things it does is that it deals with the epithelium of your cornea, which it's got to reshape your whole cornea. And if you, on initial assessment, or whoever who has that diabetes on initial assessment already has some sort of dysfunction of the tear gland or the tear production, it won't be a good idea to do it, because among the complications of LASIK as well is causing dry eye and poor tear film and erosions of the cornea. So you're going to double up on that effect. But if diabetes in the early stage is well controlled, you lead a normal life, so you can go through the LASIK surgery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but will it have long-term implications as the diabetes progresses?
As long as you've got diabetes under control, you should lead a normal life, so you can go through the normal procedures.
Is there any precaution you would advise Geraldine to take, prior to undergoing the procedure, apart from tight diabetic control?
No, I think this, because the assessments are all done microscopically, it's best to just get the opinion of the ophthalmologist and weigh the risk and benefit and then, make that decision.
Great. Okay. We have Yong on the line. Yong, you have a question for us.
Afternoon, Yong.
Dr. Mira and Dr. George and our distinguished guests. Okay, for myself, I have bad news and good news. And the bad news is just a couple of days ago, a doctor saw my eye, the doctor in the hospital, and it seems that the cataract is progressive.
Oh, sorry
and
to hear that.
I don't know whether you should say it's a good news or not, but my question is, can the cataract precede diabetes? That's my question.
Okay, thank you very much, Yong. Okay.
Yep. Yong, thanks for the question. Cataract and diabetes can, present as completely different problems. Mm-hmm. Everyone, regardless, after a certain age, will develop cataract, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a fixed age. Some people develop it earlier, some people develop later. Mm-hmm. The question about diabetes is that, we know that it accelerates. So when does it accelerate? We don't know. Mm-hmm. That depends on how bad the control of diabetes is, how long you've had diabetes. If you've had diabetes when you were 20, obviously your cataract is going to develop earlier. Mm-hmm. If you started having diabetes when you're 50, it's going to develop later. So with regards to your question, Mr. Yong, it's hard to say, which came first or which one caused what. But in general, the management's the same, right? So if you've got cataract, you've got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And you only can deal with it surgically. Mm-hmm. If it's significant, if it causes you problems in terms of carrying out your daily activities, it is in your best interest to get the surgery done.
To answer Yong's question differently, how many people presented with cataract would you actually screen them for diabetes?
Ooh, that would be all of us.
Yeah, well, exactly.
If we all eventually are going to get cataracts, yeah, it doesn't mean that all of us have
exactly
diabetes.
So Yong probably doesn't need to worry too much about that. Is that correct?
But with regards to what you said, George, every patient who comes in who's going to go through a cataract surgery would have these baseline blood investigations taken.
Indeed.
Right. So if they're not been diagnosed before, they would be diagnosed before surgery, because we have to be very careful. Right. So diabetes has got one little, this kind of double-edged sword that if you do surgery on them, if they've got diabetic retinopathy, which was not controlled with good diabetic control, it accelerates. So if you've got stage 1 diabetic retinopathy, you undergo cataract surgery and your diabetes is not controlled, it goes up to stage 2, 3, 4 rapidly. Uh-huh. 6 months, you could lose your sight.
Okay.
Hence, it's really important that, we get
The proper diagnosis
right before you do the surgery.
I mean, the other way around of answering Yong's question is that how many people with diabetes can eventually, there are different stages of diabetes, the control of diabetes, will eventually, how many proportion of diabetic patients actually have got cataract problems?
I would say all.
All, eventually. Yeah. Wow.
Eventually have cataract problems. Mm-hmm. Glaucoma?
Oh, well, that depends on the stage of... I don't have the numbers, but, you know, that depends on the stage of
proportion?
The diabetic retinopathy.
Roughly, what sort of proportion of people eventually...
Oh, 1 to 2%.
Okay, but cataracts more common?
Yes, cataracts really common.
You know, you said stage 1 diabetic retinopathy is reversible. What do you do?
Just strict diabetic control, right? You've got some amount... Stage 1 is characterized by little leakiness in your blood vessels. Right, so those leakiness can be corrected if you've got good blood flow, oxygen comes back, you know, your eye can regenerate a few of the blood vessels. So then you can, you know, what you have is that leakiness reduces. Mm-hmm. But once you reach the further stages, you don't get that.
Okay.
Mohan, just for the benefit of listeners out there, I mean, what sort of like visual impairment would diabetic patients expect with the progressions of a diabetic retinopathy? And what sort of kind of blurring of vision, what sort of visual field impairment would they expect?
From stage 1 to 4?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right, so generally stage 1 to 3, you don't get any visual impairment.
Uh-huh. Right? So that's when only diagnosed by yourself.
Yeah. So that's just for us to monitor, you know, the progress of the disease. Generally, there are 3 main structures in the eye that can cause you to get blurring of vision or distortion of vision. If you've got cataract, it's generally a general blurring of vision.
So right? Kind of cloud, smoke in front of you.
It's just like looking through... just like looking through haze, right? But if you've got what we call a macular edema, which is swelling of your macula, and the macula is the most important part of the retina because it's the central focal point of where all the focus of your near task is, interpreted in your eye. So in that Kodak film, which I explained to you, imagine putting a dot of water in the center and taking a photo. So what you get is a distortion in the center, right, when you take a photo, and you get exactly that in your eye. If you've got a macular edema, you find that if you look at someone, you find that everything's clear, but maybe the nose is a little distorted or a little larger.
Might be okay for someone you don't like when you're looking to get their face just disappeared in their visual field.
You have a lot of people you don't like.
Just joking, right?
So... if it bleeds in the eye, and usually what people say, they see floaters. You see things, and very frequently it's like they see things flowing from one end of the eye going to the other end of the eye, and they can actually see the red color. So they know it's a bleed of some sort, right? So, and that sometimes it remains as floaters, but if the bleed is extensive, you'll completely lose your eyesight. It becomes, you know, dark red or black, whatever.
At what point is it reversible? I mean, presumably the bleed to the extent of complete blindness, is that still reversible with surgery?
Yes. So it's not completely reversible. When you reach the stage 4, so you're basically like a car going downhill. I mean, unfortunately, we've got to say that. Like, you know, when you reach stage 4 of diabetes, the eye is going to go blind if you don't intervene, right? So you're like a car going downhill, and what we're doing with surgery and laser treatment, which is what we do, is like we're going to put the brakes on for the car. And what you find is that the car doesn't stop immediately. It tends to go downhill a little bit more before it stops. And so a lot of these patients will be left with some sort of residual loss of vision or reduction in vision. But what surgery and laser treatment does is that it limits the kind of damage that's in the eye. And, you know, hopefully we get to restore some sort of functional vision. But if at the point of presentation, the vision is severe, let's say a patient can only see light perception on presentation, usually the prognosis is quite poor.
So this is after surgery, are able to slow down the car and stop it,
yes,
right? Will the car continue rolling again after?
Yeah, so because the disease in the eye is a consequence of what's happening in your whole body, right? Uh-huh. We can treat the eye, but if you don't manage what's happening in your body, the disease process is going to continue. Mm. Right? And that's why it's obviously the management is multidisciplinary. We need to get the medical people involved, the physicians, the dietitians, to get the whole systemic control.
Mm-hmm. You know, management. I've always heard this in relation to diabetes. Manage the diabetes. But I don't know. Everybody I know who's diabetic doesn't take it seriously enough. Am I correct?
Yeah, I've seen...
I will take my insulin jab and then I'll whack the durian and hope for the best. Or I'll take a double shot and eat Hokkien mee. You know, I'm...
Well, we have a role in, you know, trying to educate people and trying to make people, you're not fearful, but to understand the disease process. And there must be a fault in both parties, whether the ones who are providing the, you know, the healthcare services or those who are suffering from the disease. Mm-hmm. And we both have that role to, you know, educate and to be educated. And so these patients, I've seen my grandparents are diabetic. Mm-hmm. Right? And my grandmother's been diabetic for 30-odd years. And when I look at her, she's got no diabetic retinopathy at all. Right? And she takes her medications, like, you know, like
from
religiously.
30 years ago?
From 30 years ago.
Meticulously.
Religiously. Meticulously, right? And, like, if we're driving out somewhere and she forgets to bring that little box, she makes us turn back. But so it just shows you that if you're serious about it, it can be managed. There's nothing that will happen to your eye that mm-hmm. we can't manage.
Are you not concerned that you will be diabetic as well?
Yeah, hence I am.
okay.
Yeah, I mean, and then
you can't pick your grandparents, can you?
Yeah,
so how do you manage it? Because it is hereditary, we do know that. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, there are lifestyle issues involved at the moment as well. But you would have known that your risks were there. And how did you sort of delay the onset of diabetes? That's, I suppose, the most that you can actually do.
Yeah, based on conventional teachings, weight management, frequent screening. If you get it, you got to detect it early. Lower carbohydrate, try to avoid. I use the word avoid sugar. You don't need sugar in your life. Avoid sugar.
I
don't take sugar.
Wow.
He's
unless
sweet
I
enough.
No job.
Okay. He's sweet enough.
George.
But you know, we also use the less conventional methods. I've tried to look for other ways in which we can prevent the disease. And this disease, diabetes, was first described in the late 1800s. And among the first treatment was avoidance of carbohydrate and all forms of sugar. And it worked well until, you know, big pharma companies came up with insulin, which was claimed to kind of treat. It did treat, you know, especially type 1 diabetics.
One, that's right.
But with type 2, it also treated. But what we found that they never cut down on carbohydrate. People went back to taking carbohydrates and sugar. And that is a lot of the studies now are showing that it's carbohydrate and sugar mm-hmm. that you don't need in your body, in your diet.
So you don't take carbohydrates. Sorry, I'm so interested in how you have completely cut out sugar. You don't take carbs as well?
I try to avoid. But
Everyone,
you know, you
says
can't,
that.
Yeah,
we try to eventually avoid. We do that anyway.
No, I believe him because his grandmother is his grandmother.
My mother's diabetic. And then I just recently, okay, Mira, this is the first time I own up to it. I recently did my first blood test.
Well done.
I'm glucose intolerant. And then that eventually is heading towards there anyway. So this whole...
You can be glucose intolerant?
Yeah.
Well, what happens to you?
Well, it's pre-diabetic in some way. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pre-diabetic. There is a classification. So you're based on your random blood glucose or your fasting blood glucose.
Yeah. And also your HbA1c can actually indicate that, you know, you're at a pre-diabetic range. And that will eventually mean that if you don't regularly exercise and actually don't watch your weight, and that will get out of hand.
Did you just find out, George?
Last week.
But you are in shape now.
Still. But, you know, you can't choose
years.
Your parents. And all those years of indulgence. And then, you know, it has to pay somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That's right.
Okay, so now we see younger and younger people being diagnosed with diabetes, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to them when it comes to diabetic retinopathy? We see children being diagnosed with diabetes.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're going to have this problem much earlier on in life?
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful you brought that up. The number one most important risk factor in developing diabetic retinopathy is duration of diabetes.
Mm.
It's not even, you know, diabetic control. If you've had diabetes for a long period of time, you are at risk. That's the number one risk
factor.
That's
why I was very surprised to see how your grandmother can manage put this off? You know, clearly with a grandson who's an ophthalmologist, you know, that keep the diabetic retinopathy at bay.
Compliance has nothing to do with the ophthalmologist.
No. Oh, I know, but you know, but eventually, from you know, we all know that the duration, the interval of the diabetic the diabetes itself, it's a risk factor of eventually getting eye impairment. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So the duration, but obviously, I mean, it doesn't apply to everyone. If it's the most important risk factor, it still is dependent on all the other risk factors. And if you can control all the other risk factors, you find that the main risk factor is also under control. I guess that's what we see in my grandmother's eye.
But these are children.
Yes. So
and with younger children, people.
It's really difficult because we see children when they are around, let's say they're diagnosed at 12. 12 to 18, they're still under the control of their parents. Usually it's okay. When they go out on their own, most young adults go through a phase where they go through the denial phase or they feel that nothing's happening to them. That's when diabetes goes out of control. And around the age of 28, 29, 30, they start to come to realization that the disease is real. They have some complications.
Okay. Mira, in fact, from medical schools, I realized that interval of diabetes actually eventually will get somebody run into problems with retinopathy. It's one of my biggest deterrent. There are five organs that diabetes can affect. It can be vasculopathy because it affects the vessels, the nephropathy affect the kidneys, and then neuropathy affect the nerves, cardiopathy because it affect the heart, and also retinopathy. And out of the five, the one I'm most fearful is retinopathy, and that really gets me on the bicycles and also
why gives me the eye, George?
You're going blind. You know, it's because that's something that I think we all take for granted, that eyesight is probably something that you don't really know how much you treasure until you lose it.
What about if you have amputation of the foot?
Well, but you can still see.
Or you're on dialysis.
Or diabetes. Or
now he's thinking which is worse.
As far as diabetes is concerned, I think it's a push and pull factor for you to change your lifestyle. There is no pull factor at all. It has to be push factor. And that fear factor is striking different people differently. And for me, the eyesight is probably something that I really will try all my best not to lose.
So I suppose having the fear of at least one.
Exactly. It's better than nothing.
Absolutely. Right? We have a question here. Do all diabetes patients require eye screening? What do you think, Dr. Mohan?
That's right. Every diabetic patient requires eye screening. At this point in time, in Malaysia, what we find is the data we have shows that 50% of patients only have had eye screening at some point in their diabetic history.
That's only half.
Yes, that's only half. And that's where we're having a bit of problems because we're getting patients at the end stage. So by right, the minute you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, you need to be screened immediately. Your eyes, because you never know how long you've had the diabetes before you had presented yourself to the doctor.
And how do you screen the patient newly diagnosed with diabetes?
Yep. So you've got to look into the eye, look at the retina, and we use that. Conventionally, we use the direct ophthalmoscope, but of course we use the slit lamps and we get a good view of the fundus retina. But the government's done really well. They've put in what we call fundus cameras in almost every district hospital in the country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all you have to do is just head out there to the clinic. They'll take a photograph of your eye and you get a printed copy. And then someone will tell you that whether there's any changes in your eye or not and then give you an appointment. So if there's no diabetic retinopathy or if you're like stage one, you can be seen between 1 to 2 years.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So there's a MOH diabetic retinopathy screening module is what you're referring to. So we'll come back after the market update and continue the discussion. You know, co-host, what are the numbers to call? If you want to get involved in the conversation?
Absolutely. 7733-2900 or you can WhatsApp on 018-789-8899 or tweet us on @BFM Radio.
Fantastic. We'll come back and find out after the market Market Update on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. If you have just joined us, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me in our Doctor in the House series. It's a Friday, that means. Dr. Mohanarasan Ratnam, a consultant ophthalmologist in the studio also, and we're discussing diabetes and blindness. It was World Diabetes Day yesterday. You know, one in five of us actually has diabetes, many of whom don't know we have them. Dr. Mohan went through some of the symptoms, frequent urination, weight loss, you mentioned. What else?
Thirst.
Thirst.
Yeah, polyps, yep. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you said, it's asymptomatic most of the time, especially in the early stage. So given that one in five of us is predisposed to this condition, perhaps we should just get our screening done anyway. And Malaysians are pretty all right with all these packages that we have. You know, many of us are screening for blood glucose levels, don't you think? We should be detecting it early, if you ask me, or is that my imagination?
I think that's right. It's become a bit trendy where people go and get this whole package for, you know, blood screening tests and all that, which is good. You know, it's good to get things, you know, seen or detected early. But if we look at the whole country, we still have a large population who are non-urbanized population. And this is where we find a lot of these patients who come in at the last stage come from. And so the efforts should be going and you should be targeting the people who live, who don't have access to these kind of screening packages or can't afford these kind of screening packages, although they've got access to the local clinics. But there seems to be some sort of phobia towards going towards clinic. And you have patients who come up and say that they've been proud because they're 65 years old and have never been to hospital. I've never been admitted to hospital. And they seem to be proud about it. So that mindset, I feel, you know, we got to address. If we want to tackle this disease, which is a disease of modern human, you've got to address this kind of attitude.
It's not like back in the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you could go up to 65 and possibly be proud about not being in a hospital, right? Not anymore. So in these health clinics now that you have this diabetic retinopathy screening modules by the Ministry of Health, can you tell me a little bit more about it? Where is it available?
So it's available in almost every
clinic kesehatan.
So these little, what we call fundus cameras, are placed in a room and they are manned by technicians that we have trained. And they're usually either the assistant medical officers or nurses. And they do a really good job with photography and they know how to interpret it. And if the patients are stage 2, 3 and 4, they would be referred to the tertiary centres, which is where we will see these patients. So if they're stage 0 and 1, they will continue to follow up on the patient. Well, it's a good system, but at this point in time, we're still not getting the numbers in terms of screening all the diabetic patients because we find that a lot of the effort is being into dealing with the other more so-called, what seems to be more severe complications. You have almost 100% of the patients being screened for microalbuminuria, which is one of the earliest indications of chronic kidney disease as a complication of diabetes.
But that's protein in the urine?
Yes, protein in the urine, right? So you have almost 100% screening there, but you don't get 100% screening for the eye. And I think it's a matter of awareness. Once we get to educate even the people who are conducting the screening that 100% screening is essential for all diabetics, then we can achieve that number. Because we've got enough fundus photographs in the entire country.
But what I'm saying to that is that many of the diabetic patients are managed by GPs, right? Because, I mean, in the old days, all the GPs and we in medical school had the fundoscopes and then we look into the eyes. And how many of these patients actually go to clinic kesehatan to actually have their, you know, their back of the eyes photographs taken by these machines?
Yeah. That's a great point.
Is it free?
It's free. Right? But I think there seems to be a lack of connectivity or, you know, communication between the general practitioners and the people who are in the clinic kesehatan. So that's why you find a lot of them are just being managed with medication, but none of them have had their eyes screened before until they develop the complication.
Well, employers can actually impart this knowledge to employees who want to go. I mean, it's free. Go get your eye checked. However, I always still think prevention is always better. And then as we spoke about how prevalence of diabetes is growing, and with mothers now having babies later on in life, they're already going into pregnancy with some of these risk factors. Now, will pregnancy exacerbate the progression of diabetic retinopathy if you are already diabetic before?
Yeah, so if you're diabetic and, you know, you are pregnant, it does exacerbate the progress of diabetic retinopathy. At this point in time, we have some numbers. We know that the incidence of diabetes mellitus in pregnancy is about 9%, which is almost, you know, 1 in 10 women who are pregnant would have diabetes. And they need to be screened.
1 in 10.
Yes. And because of the rate of acceleration of diabetes in the eye, we don't screen them once a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So you've got to see them once every 3 months, regardless of what stage they are in, because they will progress really quickly. So they, all those diabetic patients who are pregnant need to get their eye screened.
Okay.
But the good thing, the good thing about our maternity health is that every patient who have been diagnosed with diabetes, and they will recheck all the blood investigation when you go for what is called booking, when you first know you're pregnant, they will run a blood test, including diabetic screening. And if you have deranged blood sugar levels, they will send you for screening. We rarely miss out on people who are pregnant. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing about, you know, our current system.
Yes, and we're talking about the government, and I can vouch for that because I went through it when I was pregnant, and they were so thorough with all their tests.
Nobody slipped through the net.
No. We have Surya on the line. Surya, you have a question.
Afternoon, Surya.
Good afternoon. My question is I was born congenital cataract. I did my operations then at the age of 20. I had a vitreous hemorrhage on my right eyes. I lost it. At the age of 27, I had a retinal detachment. I went for operation. I'm totally blind now. But I can see a little bit of light. It's all scattered, shattered vision. Is there any technology now lately that can do this retinal detachment, redo where I can have a mobility vision or something like that?
Yep. Are you diabetic by any chance, Surya?
I am. I had a heart attack. I went for a bypass. And this all happened at the age of 50. This thing happened at the age of 27.
Yeah, because you have congenital cataracts.
But Surya, can I just ask you?
Yeah.
That was the bleeding due to diabetes or was it due to retinal detachment per se?
No. Because this thing all happened when I was young. I had my vitreous hemorrhage because I had a shuttlecock hit on my right eye. So I lost my vision on the right, you see? And my left eye, I had a retinal detachment when I was 27 when working. I had a small hit on the head, you know? And then I had I had some floaters. I went to the hospital. They showed me a retinal detachment. So I went for 2 operations and I was okay. After 6 months, it detached again. So I went back for another 4 more operations where I lost my total vision.
Okay, Surya, your question is?
The new technology, is there anywhere where they can do like a mobility vision for me?
Okay,
thank
you. Sure. Thank you very much, Surya.
Yeah, so thanks for the question. So we break down the problem list. He first started off with congenital cataract. And when you've got congenital cataract, you have to go through the cataract surgery replacement when you're at a relatively young age. You are predisposed to getting retinal detachment. Mm-hmm. And then he's got what we call trauma. And trauma predisposes to retinal detachment. So he's got
double
2
whammy.
Risk factors. Yeah, double whammy. He's got retinal detachment. And when you've got retinal detachment in an eye, which is at risk, redetachment rates are about 20%.
And that badminton, that shuttlecock injury didn't help now, did it?
Yeah. So
and on top of that, diabetes at a later stage of his life.
So I assume diabetes was not there when he was 26, 27, when he had a retinal detachment. So now he's got diabetes, which is further affecting the retina. So his question is whether anything can be done for him to get navigational vision, which is what we call navigational vision. There have been a lot of work done in terms of stem cells, but we need to see what level of the retina is affected. And there are a lot of microchips available now, which are, you know, being implanted in the retina for you to get some amount of color vision and navigational vision. Unfortunately, we don't have that in Malaysia. I know one of the centers, Hospitale San Raffaella in Milan,
let's go there next week.
It sounds exotic, actually.
Yeah, it sounds really nice. I was half interested to go there and learn.
Really
how do you
learn?
I hope you're not tempting Surya to take the next flight to go to Milan.
Yeah, but the options are there. But I think when we think about
it's all probably Porsche, early stage, right? Yeah. All these.
Well, they've developed, I think, 128 megapixels of vision right now. And that is something to look forward to in the future if we get it here in Malaysia.
Watch this space, I guess.
Yes, microchips and stem cells, right? Some hope there. Mm-hmm. Stem cells, I think we always have a long way to go, but, you know. Mm-hmm. How do you manage the psychological impact of people losing their vision?
That's a really difficult thing. You know, all the senses you've got in your body, I think 99% of people would tell me that losing your eyesight is probably the one they fear the most. I wouldn't mind losing, trading it for losing my sense of taste or sense of touch or sense of hearing.
Getting erectile dysfunction.
Or in George's situation.
So 99%, you are the 99% George.
I think that's probably the biggest deterrent for somebody who continue to live life, you know, precariously.
Yeah, eyesight, right? So the impact, especially if it happens suddenly, is very difficult for patients to accept. And now that we're seeing it happening to people in their 20s or 30s or 40s, and they have young families, they've got children, 2 years old, 3 years old, and very frequently they start to go back, you know, to the emotional side of things. They find it difficult that they can't watch their children grow. Finances would be a problem because a lot of them cannot work. We know that employment rates when you have diabetes or diabetic retinopathy drops tremendously. So it's a huge problem. I think it's very difficult for patients to accept that.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, what would your message be, Dr. Mohan, this World Diabetes Day?
Well, you know, I will probably go to with what I know best. And we're talking about diabetic retinopathy. If you've got diabetes, you have to get your eyes checked. You know, it doesn't matter which stage, just diagnosed 5 years, 10 years. If it's been more than a year, you need to go and get someone to have a look at your eye, because at an early stage, we can do something about it.
George?
Diabetic retinopathy helps me to see the eye at the end, a light at the end of the tunnel.
Really?
That's right. Okay. And then so far, I changed my lifestyle.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, gosh, prevent diabetes as much as you can. And if you do get tested, and if you are indeed diabetic, just manage it, isn't it? Try not to get it as far as you can, you know?
Yeah, prevention. I think prevention is the best the word, key word here.
And we do know. I mean, it's hereditary. It is in families. So if you do, you can, I suppose, delay it by healthy lifestyle and eating healthy. No sugar. My goodness. I have no idea how you do that.
Yeah, those bubble tea.
manage if you do have it. Thank you very much. Think about Dr. Mohan's grandmother. She's such an inspiration, my God. Mm-hmm. Go home if you forget your medication. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's good
that
to
was
be here.
Dr. Mohan Arasan Ratnam, a consultant ophthalmologist, and Dr. George Lee, my co-host, who managed all the phone numbers today. Consultant neurologist on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.